1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your Turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and I'll be the host of this version of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. To learn more about my organization, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. That stands for the Center for Individual Freedom.org, where you can sign up for our free lunchtime liberty update. It shows up every Friday in your mailbox. One of the things you can click on there is the audio version of these interviews. So if you happen to miss a week's worth of interviews, or if you just want to go back and listen to one again, please do so by signing up for our lunchtime liberty update, or just go ahead and visit the website and click on the audio file for Your Turn. Well, joining me on the program this afternoon, my first guest is Fox military analyst and retired U.S. Army Colonel David Hunt, and he comes on to talk to us about his new release. It's hot off the press. It follows from his New York Times best-selling book called They Just Don't Get It. The new one hot off the press is called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Colonel Hunt, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. You there? You with us?
Hello.
Colonel Hunt, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I gave you an intro and was already talking about your book, On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Hot off the press, as I understand it.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you, I want to start out by asking you a question that you address in the very end of your book, and that is, where do we stand on the war on terror, in your opinion, Colonel?
If you want a grade, to C minus. I don't think we're doing very well. That's why I wrote the book. When you look at what happened at Katrina, you know, the miserable response at the city and the state and the federal level, we look at how well we did Afghanistan and Iraq 4 years ago plus, and what kind of trouble they're in now. All the soldiers that have been killed and wounded, the fact that bin Laden and Zawahiri and Mullah Omar are still alive, 5,000 terrorism attacks in the world, it's not going well. And it should be. We've got the greatest country in the world, the great soldiers. We deserve better leadership politically and militarily than we've been getting, and that's why I wrote the book.
Well, tell me this. Would you have graded us differently, you know, say 2, 3, 4, even 4 years ago? I mean, have our grades been slipping? Have they been fluctuating up and down?
Yeah, no, I would know. You got a straight A for going to Afghanistan and a good one, and a good grade for going in Iraq for the wrong reasons. But you can't have the intelligence failure of no WMD, you know, within a year and a half of nobody seeing 9/11 coming, and then think it's going well. But no, it's been the conduct of, and the lack of resolve, I think, on the administration, the lack of pushback on the press that it wants, many want us, I think, to lose this thing, the lack of holding anybody responsible when it goes bad, and now we've got the other side of the aisle giving us political theater. I'm kind of looking for a president like Lincoln, who fired everybody until he got himself a drunk by the name of Grant. And then when he was told, you know, by the way, Mr. President, you just hired a drunk, he said, you know, find out what he's drinking and give it to the other generals.
Well, let me ask you this. In the very beginning of your book, right in front of us, the chapter is called, you outline that this book takes a hard look at the stuff that has gone wrong on the battlefields abroad and right here at home in the hopes that we will be able to take from them the things we need to know to prevent the next attack. Colonel, two-part question. Is it inevitable that there will be a next attack? And do you think we have thwarted that at all by being in Iraq? And we'll leave Afghanistan to the side right now, if you don't mind.
Sure. No, I think that we will see another attack. If there's been fight, the reason it took them 6 years to plan 9/11. We've got upwards of 20 million illegal immigrants in this country. You know, I point this out in the book. We found Iranian patches and uniforms on the Mexican border. You know, that's not a tourist trap. I mean, that's serious stuff that when you can find Iranian gear on your southern border. And it's been with the enemy, the terrorists, insurgents, whatever you want to call them, always have a vote in what things they've done. The Al Qaeda has voted not to attack us yet. But as you look at the infrastructure in this country, the trains, the ports, the airports have got some protection when they want to harass you and me, but the backside of the airports are wide open. So, yeah, I'm afraid that it will take another large attack, and they always attack bigger than they did the last time, to finally wake us up, to get us to realize we're in a war of terror, and there is a strong religious aspect to this war that we are even refusing to talk about.
What about our Department of Homeland Security? How are they doing?
Yeah, F. They got an F. They get flunk, go home, don't get to repeat, get the money. We can spend it in a lot of better places. We saw this big storm coming in called Katrina. The city of New Orleans failed its citizens. The governor of New Orleans decided to cry away through it, and the federal government failed, and that was the Department of Homeland Security. And if that's not enough, and it should be, but it is, apparently isn't for many because they want to make it political, those are the same three groups of government officials who are responsible to react to a terrorism attack. And the Department of Homeland Security was a smokescreen. It was created to make us feel better, like putting our great National Guard kids in airports without guns. They're over departments like the Coast Guard. They don't need any help. Secret Service. They don't need any help. And then we did it to make it sound like the government's doing something. And what they did is create another layer of bureaucracy that everybody who's ever worked with them since it's been created will tell you it doesn't work. And I'm asking the current administration and things like the Department of Homeland Security or like in the military or the CIA, when it doesn't work, or the FBI, fire the people until you get the right kind. It's not that Chertoff or Tom Ridge were bad people. They're good Americans. They serve in a country. They don't make a lot of money, or the generals. But when you get it wrong in a war, you don't get to continue to do that because people die.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to go home and make money as a consultant until we find ourselves another Grant, another Patton, another Marshall, you know. And they are there, men and women in this country who can get it done. We just got to go find them.
Now, you make no bones about it in your book. It's called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Would you include in that group that you were just talking about Tommy Franks?
100%. Tommy, go home. Tommy was a Vietnam vet. So, you know, his fellow vet, you know, he's brave. He screwed up bad in Afghanistan. He was told by the CIA, by a guy named Bernstein, Bin Laden, when you go into Tora Bora, General, Bin Laden's going out the back door. You ought to put he put Army Rangers up there, and there's only so many passes in those mountains. Franks didn't want to put the Army Rangers in harm's way. I got to tell you, that's the best light infantry in the world. That's their job. They volunteer. They were at war. That's what they do. Instead, he put Northern Alliance mercenaries up there. When you pay mercenaries, somebody else can come along and pay them. Then Franks goes from Afghanistan after losing Bin Laden and goes to Iraq, takes Iraq in a good plan. He gets credit, but with no plan afterwards. And it's always going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
The taking the country with our great military is easy. It's always going to be harder to keep the peace. And Franks didn't do his job, and he needs to be, because we need to get this better. Franks is going on making a lot of money on his book tour. Congratulations. And he's a friend of the White House. That's very nice. But he didn't get it done when we needed him to, and we need to know that so we pick generals and people in the government who will get it done.
Well, you also point out in your book, you write, after the successful invasion of Iraq, we needed to get the Iraqis involved in their own security and defense. Oh. Instead, we disbanded the entire Iraqi army and police force without training their replacements.
For 6 months. The outrageous part of disbanding the military and the police in a country of 25 million people, we only had 140,000 soldiers. And we didn't train anybody for 6 months. And then when we did, the first time they had a fight up in Mosul, 5,000 of them ran away. It's a failure. And what happened? Bernie Carrot came back and was going to give him the job of Department of Homeland Security. He's the guy who was training the cops. And Bremer got the Medal of Freedom. My point is not that they were bad people, but they didn't do their job. And in a time of war, you got to hold people accountable, in fact, at all times. And they, and I'm just not seeing it. What I'm seeing is just the opposite. And right in front of us, we're seeing Iraq, and we're talking about hope that it works well. Even the most ardent supporter of the administration starts out the conversation on Iraq with the word chaos. I will tell you from a military standpoint, hope is not a method. And it shouldn't be any in anything, but hope is not a method. And you can't do a surge hoping that it's going to work. And the reason we're saying it, not that the Americans won't get it done, they always do. It's turning that street we just took or that neighborhood over to an Iraqi unit who to this day has not stood up and fought with a government, Iraqi government, who's incompetent and corrupt and is not even able to supply its own military with a uniform or with pay, which is why the Iraqi military only showed up in this surge at 50% strength. I'm sorry, it's not a good story, but it keeps getting better. I wrote the book to show where it's gone wrong and to show how it can fix it, because it's not the last place we have to do to get this right.
I want to make sure that the listeners know that. That I mean, very often, you know, we have folks who write books and they say everything that's wrong, 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 but offer no solutions. I mean, you offer plenty of solutions. You've got several chapters devoted. In fact, one of them's called What Can We Do? We are talking with Colonel David Hunt. You're used to seeing him on the television. He's Fox News military analyst, and he's joining us this afternoon to talk about his new book, On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Colonel Hunt, is it okay if we take a call from Mark?
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mark. It's your turn.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, Colonel, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I'd like to ask you just one question, sir. Can you give me an example, your favorite example, of a counterinsurgency war that you would set up as a way to do it?
Yeah, the Brits did a pretty good job in Malaysia. The French in Algeria, but then got turned around politically. The problem with these is there's a brutality you have to use and a longevity you have to accept that we weren't willing to do. For example, I think we should have taken camera crews out at the beginning and shot some looters. I think you had to declare martial law. I think we had to have a curfew and shoot people that weren't out after curfew. These are nasty things to contemplate. But once you go into an insurgency, it's 7 to 10 years. So I think there are a couple of examples that, and we had some guys in Nam who did know how to do this. And we've got them in the military. They just weren't allowed to. But that's a great point. I think there's a couple of examples in history like that.
Colonel, one more thing. As per Japan, after Japan was surrendered, we put a military commander, not a State Department person, in charge of that country. Do you think that is a better role model than putting a State Department person like we did with Paul L. Bremer?
Yeah, but and Rumsfeld didn't want the job. Rumsfeld actually rejected to do that for a lot of reasons. State Department got the head. But it wasn't just that MacArthur had it. We had a very large occupying force. We had subjugated the Japanese. And by the way, we dropped two atomic bombs on them. I mean, we had decimated them. And MacArthur was brilliant. A lot of people have trouble with MacArthur in Korea. But he was brilliant in how he administrated the Japanese. That's a much better model. But he had the backing of the White House and a Department of Defense that was non-interfering. Hell, they couldn't. They didn't have the communications interfere like they do now. But yeah, Bremer was the wrong choice. He knew nothing about it, didn't like the military, didn't trust the intelligence community. But he gets the Medal of Freedom. So yeah, I had a lot of problems with the way he did it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. All right, we need to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to have about 6 minutes left with Colonel David Hunt. We're talking about his new book. It's called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. And we come back, we're going to address some of the things that he talks about, you know, what we can do, what we should be doing, what we everyday Americans should be doing, what our industry should be doing, and what our government should be doing. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We are talking with Fox military analyst and retired U.S. Army Colonel David Hunt. We're talking about his brand new book. It's called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Colonel Hunt, before we went to the break, we were talking about things that we can do in order to win this war on terror. Is it too late, sir?
Pardon? Yes.
Is it too late for us to win this war on terror? And is it too late if we cannot commit 100% to it?
Oh, it's too late if we can't commit 100%, but it's not too late. We've got the greatest country in the world, the greatest soldiers. I mean, we've got, you know, we've got too many politicians, but and too much bureaucracy, but we have, it's the greatest nation in the world. We have not been asked to sacrifice like we did in World War II, where we had women operating factories, building tanks and planes, where we, you know, we had a good, great movie. Clint Eastwood made a nice movie, you know, a great movie, actually. Flags of Our Fathers.
Right.
Generation. Those soldiers came back to Iwo Jima to ask for $14 billion. That was private funding. We can't have, the President of the United States said, go back to work, go back to normal. No. We're at war. And if we commit to that, then yeah, we have a chance. We have a good chance. But you can't see what's going on now in Afghanistan and Iraq. Afghanistan is the largest producer of raw opium in the world. That's happened on our watch. We've owned that country the last 4 years, and opium has increased 70%. So we're the largest user of that product, and we own the largest production, which is Afghanistan. You can't have those things happen and think that you're doing well. But absolutely, with a nation, if we would care more about electing a president than we do American Idol, nobody could touch us. But we care more about missing blonde children in Aruba than we do about who's the next president of, and that's just wrong.
It's interesting because that movie Flags for Your Fathers, if you want to follow up on that, I strongly encourage you, when you buy the book On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror by Colonel David Hunt, read particularly in the chapter What Can We Do? It's called The Hunt Doctrine, and he's got a whole section about what the private sector can do. And it's really not just, you know, it's for everybody. And that's kind of what that movie, you're absolutely right, what that movie sort of addresses. And we need to look back and do the same as well. All right, we've got another caller. Go ahead, sure. Bill, it's your turn.
Yes, I've got a question for Dr.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
I'd heard a Korean pilot speak one time, and he said that he was handcuffed over there by the politicians back in the States. We could have won and done better, but he said they were told not to shoot MiGs that were on the ground. They had to wait until they were in the air, and then they would. And he said he lost many men because they were unable to shoot the MiGs on ground. They had to get into a dogfight with them before they could shoot back.
Yeah, right.
And he said that was he said that concerned him, and he got back to the States and really looked into it. And his conclusion was that the politicians had an agenda that they wanted to demoralize the American soldier. And he said that Korea was the first time that we'd ever lost anything, and then Vietnam was the second.
Well, I think what we're seeing in Iraq that's similar to that story is the rules of engagement, which are written by lawyers, signed. These are rules that allow soldiers to shoot and defend themselves that are so restrictive. When I was there in Iraq about a month ago, I saw some of these. One of them was 7 different steps before you could return fire.
Right.
So that's one of the things I put in this book. You cannot fight a war that in which you have rules of engagement that have 7 steps before a soldier can defend themselves. And it's similar to the story of the Korean pilot not shooting MiGs on the ground. I'm not sure, though, the government was trying to demoralize soldiers. I just think we can't have. Rumsfeld was on one side of the aisle that was controlling the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now you got the Democrats on the other side trying to control timelines. Both these parties have got to figure out that we're at war, and it's not a pretty sight. And if you don't want to start praying to Mecca for the rest of your life, you better figure this out now.
Well, it does sound like that the politicians are controlling the outcome of the war. It is a war, but...
Well, it is, but the generals are also allowing it. They can't do it by themselves. The politicians can have all the say they want, but there's some very senior officers, and I talk about in the book, who acquiesce and say, okay, sir, fine, sir, yes, sir, 3 bags full, instead of fighting or resigning over this. And nobody's done that yet. I think you have to care more about your soldiers and the mission they're on than where your next promotion is coming from. And we have very few officers like that in the military, whether it's Marine, Navy, Air Force, or Army. We need more of them. And on the break, this great host was talking about a relative of hers named Pete Dawkins, who who was a Vietnam veteran, All-American, West Point, I don't like West Pointers, but Dawkins, who is the type of officer that I write about in this book, we need back in the military.
Well, that's a good note to end on. And actually, Bill, I appreciate your taking this call, but we do need to close out this segment. I want to make sure everybody knows we've been talking with Colonel David Hunt. You've seen him on television. He's Fox News military analyst. Brand new book, hot off the press. It's called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. We've been talking about what we need to do to win that war. He talks about the need to get rid of political correctness. He talks about how we should deal with Iran, North Korea, and other dangerous threats, how we can solve some illegal immigration crisis that we have going on in the country. Covers a whole lot of issues. It's called On the Hunt, How to Wake Up Washington and Win the War on Terror. Thank you very much again for your time, Colonel David Hunt. Go out and buy his book.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
Thank you.